Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This four-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
For another episode of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. It's great to be back. Tonight, I am doing a solo. I'm here tonight by myself. A lot of people had a lot of things to do. I'm coming off of my first ever YouTube live version of this podcast and also a Facebook Live version of this particular podcast. I'd like to say, give a shout out to Alan Bishop and Jolie Casper-Zack of the Spirit of French Lick Distillery. They are our sponsors. They support us, and there will only be the first ever sponsor of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and that honor goes to the Spirit of French Lick in West Baden, Indiana. The distillery is phenomenal. Alan is a phenomenal distiller. He makes some classic bourbons, but he also makes absinthes and apple brandy, and he is the epitome of what a distiller, a master distiller, a lead distiller is. He has a love for the craft that a lot of people have, but his love for the craft and how he does it is phenomenal. And I'm glad that I know Jolie and Alan both. With that said, tonight we are producing this podcast based off the subject of what is and why are expensive bourbons why are they expensive? And I have to admit, I will fully divulge, and there will be that I have had samples of all these bourbons twice before in the other podcasts, and I am, what would you say, primed and ready to go. It's great to be here. I'm Tiny. Normally, I am joined with Young Nose or Super Nash or Roxy or Xavier, but all of them are busy. Hopefully, during the week, we can do a dual podcast. Usually on dual podcasts, we pick a subject matter as far as what bourbons are, or a subject line, a line of bourbons from a specific distillery, and give you history. But tonight I am going to do something that I like to do. I've done this twice before with some success, that I would like to just kind of dive into why bourbon and certain bourbons are expensive, and give you the lineup tonight. I've got many, many to try that I don't know what I'm going to try, but what I've got is I've got Jim Beam White Label, just the classic Jim Beam 80 proof. I have Jim Beam Black label. Jim Beam Black. Let me grab that bottle. It is extra aged bourbon, and it is also 80 proof along with the Jim Beam White label. So I've got those two, which the price range is a little bit different. And then I've got an Elijah Craig toasted barrel, Elijah Craig barrel proof, and Elijah Craig 18 year. Non-Kentucky bourbons, I have Widow Jane 10 year, and I have Alan Bishop's Maddie Gladden bottled in bond. That is 100 proof. And then also on the expensive bourbon level, I've got Chicken Cock 15 year barrel strength bourbon. I've got Little Book Chapter 4 2020. I've got Yellowstone limited edition, and this is a barrel finish. And once again, I finished in Armagnac casks. This particular bottle is number 306. It's a very limited edition. This particular bourbon was from 2020 also. Then I have the Old Pogue Master Select from the Old Pogue Distillery in Maysville. And we already talked about the Elijah Craig 18 year. So that's what I have here to sample. But what we're here for is price difference. When we're talking about on the Jim Beam White label, we are talking $19.99, $18.99, right around that, you know, you can get it even on sale. Then they have the Jim Beam Black, which you're going up to $24 to $26.99. And then you have the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel, which I believe I paid $49.99 because I picked that up off the shelf. And then there's also the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. Picked that up off the shelf a couple weeks later for $52.99. Then the Maddie Gladden, which was $42.99 at the distillery. The Widow Jane I picked up off the shelf, 10-year. That was $64.99, $65. Then when you want to really get into the high-end bourbons, and that's what we're here to talk about, those price ranges are pretty much normal that we talked about, you know, between the Maddie Gladden, the Widow Jane's, you know, those are different. But we are talking about some high-end bourbons when you're talking about the Old Pogue was $100 at the distillery. The Elijah Craig 18 years, $150 MSRP. Off the shelf. The Little Book I picked up for $124.99, 20. And the Yellowstone 101 I picked up at the distillery also for $129.99. But then there's the Chicken Cock barrel proof aged 15 year that I was able to pick up, and that MSRP is $299. So what we're going to do is try to explain the difference. Whether or not you agree, there are two different ways that bourbon sold. There's the one way, which is MSRP. That means you can find it on a shelf and you can purchase it. That's what they suggest that it sells for. All the different states are different because some states aren't control, other are control. Here in Ohio, it's control. So What the MSRP is, it doesn't go more than a couple dollars more, or usually it's right on. So when you pick up something here, you're getting it for what it was suggested by the distillery to sell for. But you could be in other states, Wisconsin, South Carolina, whatnot, which aren't control states, and you could see them for double price. It's at the discretion of what the liquor store owner wants to sell them for. And then there's also the secondary market. Now, secondary market exists partially because the distilleries make it so, and then other distillers distilleries don't want it. For instance, Pappy, because it's so widely accepted, they've spent millions of dollars trying to stop the secondary market of Pappy so that average people can get their bourbon. Their bourbon is reasonably priced. When you're talking to the 23, you're talking $199.99. When you're talking the 20, you're talking $149.99. When you're talking the 15, it's $129. When you're talking about the 12-year, you're talking $99. And when you're talking about the 10-year, you're talking about $79.99. So it's not that, Pappy is not that out of price range MSRP, but because it's so limited, and they haven't yet caught up to this bourbon boom. And even as they catch up to the bourbon boom, the more they make, when you're talking about a 23-year-old bourbon, even if the bourbon boom's 10 years into this, where it's really been booming, let's just say 2011, they started upping the production, they're still 13 years away from catching up on the up of production. So they are pre-production with the 23-year. Now, as far as the 10-year, they've caught up, and there should be coming up soon where we start to see more expressions of the old Van Winkle because they've been distilling more. So overall, you know, that's kind of how that works. I saw something with when the 15 year of Pappy Van Winkle in 1996 was on the shelf, it was selling for $44.99. That is a reasonable price, but once again, this bourbon boom has so many people drinking bourbon that even though they've been trying to meet this demand, there's more people drinking it. So although they might be producing more at the moment, and then also set, they're finally getting into the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year range of when they started producing more and trying to keep up, they're just exponentially keeps getting more and more people want it, more and more people it gets hotter. So that is part of why we are experiencing some of the secondary market insanity that you can see. For instance, the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel, you can't get it secondary market for less than $250. And the barrel strength isn't as, even though it's a little bit more MSRP, they produce a little bit more barrel strength. So that one you can pick up right around $200, $199, $190. So it's a more reasonable price. But when I was looking up the prices, I know what I paid, and I was just looking to see what the MSRPs were and whatever on that Elijah Craig 18-year. I wasn't seeing anything on secondary for less than $999. And on the Yellowstone, I saw that going for about the same on secondary. So those prices are pretty high, but the secondary market is driven completely for what people will pay. How many bottles are out there and what they will pay. If people weren't paying it, it wouldn't be selling for it. So people are paying that type of money. But then it gets down to, is it worth it? That's really what I wanted to kind of get into with this particular podcast. Is it worth it? I mean, is it worth the difference? And that's kind of like what I wanted to kind of start. So what I'm going to start out with is I am going to quickly, we kind of discussed all the different stuff that we have here. Now, the little book, chapter 4, that is what I'm going to taste first. Hold on, I was setting that down, trying. I've got all these bourbons. Usually when I'm podcasting, I don't have quite this many bourbons. But the Little Book Chapter 4, which I've been sipping on all night, and this is a barrel strength, and that's another thing I wanted to get into. When you're talking about bourbons, and you're talking about what is the driving price normally when you're talking about MSRP. One, the older the bourbon gets, the less there is. So if you take, for instance, White Label and Black Label, you know, the White Label Jim Beam, which has at least been aged for 4 years because it doesn't have an age statement and it's Kentucky straight bourbon. So it has to be at least aged for 4 years. If it was five or higher and it was consistent and there wasn't four and five, they would probably advertise that. So you're looking at a 4 year old bourbon and they mass produce this. They're producing it, they're aging it, and they are producing a lot of barrels to put into each batch so that they could keep the flavor profile exactly the same. Jim Beam White Label is the number one selling bourbon in the world. It sells all over and people like the consistent taste. So that kind of tells you that even in this bourbon boom, with all the different bourbons that we are drinking, all the different higher levels, whatever, Jim Beam is still pretty much the go-to bourbon for people who are drinking. And there's so many more people who like consistency than inconsistency. And when you're getting into these single barrels, toasted barrels, these special yearly different expressions, there isn't a consistency. There's a consistency in quality and flavor that's good, but it's not the same flavor profile. So there's just a lot of people in this world who like to get, when they go there and they drop their $20 on the counter, they want to know what they're tasting. And that is overall, my friends, what the majority of bourbon drinkers want. They want the consistency. Now, us critics or people who are podcasting and whatever and just enjoy the variety and the variety in all the batches, that we are not the majority of people that are drinking bourbon. We are strong, and that's part of the bourbon boom, and people are drinking expensive bourbons, but we are by far not the majority. So, the little book, and I've been, that's like my third pour of this deliciousness. Good job. This was produced by Freddie Noe. I first tasted this in the man cave at the Fred and Sandy Noe's house. We were podcasting with Sandy Noe, and she had this bottle. I thought, I took a sip, and I thought that somehow it was rigged, like that it was so good that that's not how it could, you know, actually taste. And then when I bought my own bottle, I realized that this was a fantastic year for Freddie, this 2020. It's a mixture of bourbon and rye whiskeys. And it just is fantastic. Wow. It's a barrel strength. Takes my breath away. I believe, if I'm looking at the proof, it's 112 proof. I don't have my glasses at the moment, but it is full bodied. The caramel is there. There's a spice and a pepper. Now, first time I drank it, I got this awesome taste. And then the second time I actually picked up the Jim Beam profile. Now this time I'm not quite picking up that Jim Beam profile, but this is a quality bourbon, and part of the price is that it is barrel strength. It's a high proof bourbon. So one of the things, you're not watering it down, so there's not as many bottles when you're producing it. And then when you're talking about, he's making and blending. So this batch of blend that he produces for these bottles in his batch is it. He produces this, it's done till the next batch. So you are paying for exclusivity, and you're paying for high proof because it's not watered down, but then you're also paying for taste because the taste of this is full bodied. And that's one thing that I feel that if you're going to pay for a higher price bourbon, that you want something that really isn't watery or whatever. Or, you know, it's the right right balance of flavor, finish, and nose. And this is it. I mean, there's dark cherries, there's caramel, there's everything you want in a bourbon. I really enjoy this bourbon. I picked this up. I was lucky to pick this up because it's not like it's readily available everywhere. Wasn't at my liquor store for a while. I had to drive up to Akron area to pick this up. And I would say it was well worth it. At $124.99, this bourbon was quite spectacular. But the question is from White Label, which I've been tasting a little bit all night long. I don't have to go back to it to taste it because I know what Jim Beam tastes like. And I know what it tastes like up against Little Book. It definitely is not as full-bodied. It actually, quite frankly, when you taste the two back-to-back, you would say that the Jim Beam is watered down. But technically, that's what it is. It's 80 proof to 122 proof. So it technically is watered down. But the taste of Jim Beam is quite good. I enjoy Jim Beam White Label. It's got a nutty flavor mixed with caramel. There's a richness that's consistent. And the question is it $105? Is the Little Book worth $105 more than the $19.99 bottle of Jim Beam? My answer to you would be that's totally up to you. One, if you don't have the money to afford a $129 bottle of bourbon, you probably shouldn't. You should try and get a taste of this bourbon, but I don't think you should be buying a bottle of it. It's like for $20 and what you can get from Jim Beam White Label, it's not $105. But if you have the money, that's a whole different story. It's like you're paying for an exclusive club that only happens once a year. It comes out in, you know, when it comes out, and when it's gone, it's gone. And when it's done, it's done. So you got a chance to participate in something that isn't always, isn't readily available. So that's where the $105 come in. Now, it's not the full $105. If you were talking about $19.99, how much more would Little Buck taste in price? Probably, in my opinion, double. I mean, the richness, the caramel, so it's double. So if Little Book in this particular bourbon was consistently available the same way Jim Beam White, I'd be willing to pay $40. I'd pay $40 day and night. I would probably pay a little bit more than that even. What I'm saying is, but because it's exclusive, it only happens once a year and it's different every single time and you're not going to go back. The purchase of this bottle after tasting it was well worth the spending price. So that's where we are on the Little Book. I mean, Little Book was our bourbon of the year, even though it wasn't actually a bourbon. But 2020 was so fucked, I had no problem saying Little Book was the bourbon of the year. I did like Booker's Pigskin. That's on a level of right around $89.99 for Booker's. And that was pretty damn good stuff too. The two were very similar as far as how good they were. So, you know, when you're getting into that level. So that brings me to the next level. Now, you're dealing with, other bourbons that are being made at young distilleries. And the Spirit of French Lick is an up-and-coming. Alan Bishop there is producing some damn good whiskey. But to get himself through his distilling process where he's making his own whiskey, putting it in and aging it, he's getting to the point where his stuff is now getting to the shelf. Now, at first, he was taking bourbon and buying aged bourbon and then mixing the two together to produce what he wanted to produce. Same thing at Widow Jane 10 year. This particular bourbon is a mix between Kentucky, Indiana, and Tennessee bourbons. But that blend aged once it was purchased and aged further to this 10 year, and then you got 14 year and that whatnot. It's something special. So Lisa Roper Wicker, who is the distiller at Widow Jane and also a Scotchy Bourbon Boy, she has done a really good job of blending those bourbon, those whiskeys together to make the Widow Jane 10 year, age them, whatnot. And as it keeps going forward, she's producing other aged whiskeys while she's waiting for her distillate that she's been producing to come to the market, get ready to come to the market. But that causes, because you're purchasing aged whiskey instead of distilling it and letting it age, it's when you distill it and let it age, you control how much you make. And then also, because you're not purchasing aged whiskey and someone's trying to sell, they are upping the price. So in both cases, the price is what it is. $42 for the Matty Gladden, and I believe that bottled in bond. So it's bottled in bond. This is Allen's whiskey coming straight out of the distillery. And it's a totally reasonable price. So, whereas the Widow Jane is it's $65, and it's a little bit more money because she had to purchase this whiskey and then do the blend of the whiskeys and age it a little bit further and get it out there. It's not her distillate, but when her distillate hits, her price will be what it'll be. You know, she's even said to buy good aged whiskey is not cheap. You can buy crappy aged whiskey and not have to pay it, but that just is not what they want to do. So that brings me to, now we're into the higher end whiskeys. We talked about the barrel strength. Because it's not watered down, it costs a little bit more because you get less per barrel because you're just not watering it down. As far as now, when we get into these aged whiskeys or limited edition whiskeys where there's just nothing left, for instance, the Yellowstone, which was aged and then finished in the barrels. And I did say what kind of barrels before. I did. Armagnac barrels. This particular one, because it's limited, and then also how it was aged, that's where the price comes in. There's just not that many many bottles. It's a one-time and done. So, and it's also 101 proof. So it's not barrel strength, but it's a higher proof whiskey. So that's where the price comes in. The Chicken Cock 15 year, which I'm not going to sample because I only got probably 1.5-2 pours left, saving that for a special occasion. This has been aged 15 years. This is 100% purchased bourbon aging in a barrel. And when Greg Schneider was making this, he basically knew which barrels were the cherry picking barrels, the cream of the crop, and let them age as long as they should to produce the specific taste that he was hoping to get. And in September of last year, I was able to taste this before he bottled it, and it was spectacular. And then when he bottled it, getting the hold of this bottle, it was spectacular also. This bottle was a classic bottle. Very good. I tasted this with a lot of different people. I shared this bottle with many people, all the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and then also Steve Coombs, Randy Prossy. It's just a very phenomenal whiskey, and where Greg Schneider really shined was able to his palate and what he was able to taste and what he allowed to become Chicken Cock bourbon before this, and then how long he picked these barrels to age to become what went in this bottle. So that is another reason why. Now, this is just all honest. $299 a bottle is expensive. Unless you can afford it, you shouldn't. And yes, I think that at $299, it was worth every cent of its value. But at the same time, is it $299? Is this bourbon that much at that price better than, let's just say, a $40 or a $60 or even a $30 bottle of bourbon? No, I don't think it's that much better. But because it's so limited and it's barrel strength, it's worth it. That's why it's worth it. But is it that much better? No, it's not. It's a damn good bourbon. I'm not going to say it's one of the better bourbons I've ever tasted. But I've tasted a lot of good bourbons that were close and that were a lot less money. And that's just my opinion on price of bourbon. But this bourbon, because it was purchased, it was aged and let aged to 15 years after it was purchased. And then also the expertise that Greg put in to pick this and bottle it when it was ready makes this worth the money that Chicken Cock is charging. Then we get down to the Old Pogue. The Old Pogue is the Master Select. I paid $100 for this particular bottle. Now I'm going to taste this in my Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn, courtesy of Martin Duffy of the Glencairn Glass Company. Not courtesy, but he led me to the way to be able to make these glasses. And then also just remember at www.scotchybourbonboys.com, they are available. You can pick up Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn, or you can follow the Patreon account that is has a link there on the site. Follow that there and support us. You can use the posting chip. You could get a posting chip for $3 a month and then post all your social media pictures of whiskey drinking, anything to do with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. It's pound Scotchy Bourbon Boys PC. You get 100 of those posts up and you qualify for prizes. Anything from t-shirts to special tastings with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, where you get samples of the bourbon and you get a Zoom tasting with your Scotchy Bourbon Boy pick. And those are the things you could do with the posting chips. Plus that also on Patreon, you can also go with the programs for t-shirts and Glencairn glasses. So check us out there. With that said, I've got the Old Pogue in my Master Select in my glass. Paul and John Pogue has restarted the Old Pogue Distillery in Maysville, Kentucky, right on the Ohio River. Now, that particular distillery is just built into the countryside. It's spectacular. I was watching a Kentucky history on YouTube the other night, and they were talking about Maysville and its importance in where all the whiskey was coming down to the river to be shipped down to New Orleans. Maysville was a huge contributor of that. The Old Pogue Distillery had been a part of the history for a long time, and it took John and Paul to bring it back. They are growing it as we speak. They were doing one barrel a day. Now they're up to, I believe, 5 barrels a day. So it's kind of cool to see what they're doing. You stop by. The tour is fantastic. One-on-one with the master distiller, I learned a lot of things I did not know. I had no idea that they had made oak barrels to put oil in the 20s and 30s, getting ready, And then plastic was invented, so they had all these oak barrels laying around, and it's one of the reasons why bourbon is also stored in oak barrels and why it was so readily available to be able to do, because they had such a overstock of those barrels. And then World War II comes around, and they not only did they have an overstock of the barrels, but also there was an interruption of putting whiskey in barrels, which allowed the oak forests to become older before they had to start making barrels again. So that's some really cool stuff I learned at the old Pogue Distillery. John Pogue was there that day talking to us about bourbon making, which was very fascinating. Now, this particular bourbon, the Master Select, was from still when he was making one barrel a day. It's batched out once a year. So this particular bourbon has a very nice nose, but when drinking this, to me, I like it. It's more like a scotch. I get a smoky, oaky tannin on the finish, which isn't my favorite. But this particular 91 proof drinks closer to me to the Jim Beam 80 proof white label than it does to the Little Book 122 proof, you know, blend. And if you asked me from a taste experience, what white Jim Beam white is it an $80 difference, you know, between $20 and $100? And I would have to say no. But if you asked me if I would buy the old Pogue Master Select, Distiller Select, I would say yes, I would. And you say, well, why? It's not even, I think it's like a $5-$10 difference, maybe. Or the old Pogue has more of a body, it's a more of a mouth fill, but I don't like the finish as much as I like the Jim Beam. But the Jim Beam is a little bit waterier because it's 80 proof, but it's not that much of a difference. But why would I pay that? Well, because when a distillery is doing what Old Pogue is doing, this remodeling, revamping, putting their distillery into the side for the love of bourbon, the history and restoring and trying to, you know, keep going forward, making these bourbons, I would definitely support that distillery. And the way to support the distillery is buy a $100 bottle from them, because that all goes back to them being able to carry on and keep making good whiskey. So that's kind of another reason why, distilleries and why expensive bourbons are expensive, because of what they're trying to accomplish. All right, so that's gone. So that takes me to the last part. Elijah Craig 18 is an example completely of another reason why bourbon is expensive. So you got the small batch Elijah Craig. It's not like they're producing Elijah Craig to the same extent that they're producing Jim Beam White Label. It's more like Distiller Select or small batch when you're talking about like a Knob Creek or whatever. You're only taking maybe 30 to 60 barrels at a time, mixing them together to keep the flavor profile, which is more difficult because you don't have that leeway that you got when you're using 600, 800, 900 barrels at a time to produce a batch. You have much more leeway. There's a lot more barrels, a lot more liquid, and the analysis when you're at Jim Beam, they do a chemical analysis to keep it consistent. So they have barrels that they analyze that they know will keep the flavor profile the same, and they keep adding those in as they keep going forward. The same now with the small batch, you don't have quite that luxury to keep adding in, you have to basically hit that flavor profile pretty quick. And Elijah Craig, you know, it's like most small batches, it's probably on the lowest end of barrel mixing that you can do to keep a flavor profile going. So when you get into the toasted barrels, the single barrels, the barrel proofs, you have a little bit of leeway there because people aren't expecting the same thing or the exact same thing. But as it ages, so there's two things with aging. One, the longer it stays in the barrel, the more water and alcohol that evaporate out of the barrel, the angel's share. And the angel's share is basically the reason why they don't know what the angel's share is until they really open up that barrel. Now, when they're testing those barrels to go forward, they kind of know what's going on. But year to year, as they hit that next time, it can evaporate or be more absorbed into the wood as it goes forward. So the longer you get, the less whiskey you get. So if you're trying to age something for 18 years opposed to something for 12 years opposed to something for 6 years, opposed to 4 years or 2 years or whatever, at 2 years, you have a hell of a lot more whiskey than you do at 18 years or 20 or 23. And in some cases, when you're getting into the 20s and 23s, when you open up the barrels, there's nothing left. Seriously, there's nothing left. That happened to, from what I hear, that happened to Pappy this year. There's an exorbitant amount of the barrels had been, the angel share was what more than they thought, so they weren't even close to producing the amount of the bottles they wanted to this year. And there were a lot of people left out, liquor stores or whatever, that had to do, when you're a liquor store, to get your allotment of different, different high-end bourbons, you have to order a certain amount of the lower ends, and not in a control state, but in the non-control states. So the people who had been doing what they're supposed to do didn't get their Pappy, were not upset. They were very upset this year. So that's where that was at. Now, this Elijah Craig 18-year-old is a single barrel. So this one barrel was barreled, it was bottled on 11/4/19. So that means it went into the barrel, it's an 18 year, before 11/4/01. That's how long that this is. Now, that was barrel 4,839. So that kind of gives you something on the Elijah Craig with the single barrel and 18 year. So they're not mixing batches. So from one barrel to the next, this Elijah Craig 18 year will change. But like I said, whatever the angel share is why. So this is a $150 bottle of bourbon, and I'm going to sample it because it's actually the first time. Now, at 18 year, so there's people who like Chardonnays that like oaky Chardonnays, and there's people who like, you know, Australian Chardonnays that are aged in steel barrels. But oak barrels, as you get, what you run the risk of on any particular barrel is the tannins and the wood starting to overtake the caramels and the sugars and the cherries, stone fruits, and different things that make bourbon bourbon. Sometimes it can even turn into like a cognac if it gets too old. But one thing it does is, let's just say this Elijah Craig 18 year, let me see what we got. We got 90 proof. So the normal, we're looking at, I'll look at it again. I believe, yes, I think the 94 is a, well, let me see. I'll get it. So the proof, that's a barrel proof. Why do I pick up two? That was a 127 barrel proof. So that's a 90 proof Elijah Craig. And this is a 90 Elijah Craig toasted barrel. And Elijah Craig is 94 proof. So this has been watered down a little bit, but it makes sense because one, a single barrel, maybe it could be a little bit syrupier because so much of the water has been evaporated out of it. To put the water back in and take it to 90, you might be close. And I do this 18-year-old is the right age. So I'm going to take it. The nose is delicious. Vanilla, cherry. There's a little ethanol for a 90 proof, which makes no sense. It's very cherry, vanilla. There's something else there. What is that? A lot of oak. Sweet on the front, but the bitter, there's chocolate. I'm getting chocolate. It starts out bitter, but it goes to chocolate. So this is one of the nice things about this is it's very smooth. That smooth means there's not a lot of pepper, but there's a nice heat to it. And then I'm getting peaches all of a sudden. Let me see. So you definitely can tell that the oak's there. So anybody who likes Chardonnay and oaky Chardonnay, this would be great. Plus, there's a peachy cherry smell on it. So, you know, at $150, is it $150 better than the barrel proof or the... you know, the toasted barrel. I prefer the toasted barrel. The toasted barrel is delicious. I like caramel, vanilla, that type of thing. And it's not as oaky. So, you know, but once again, the 18-year only comes out this year. Then who knows if there's going to be a 20-year or what not. But it's like you're paying once again for the exclusivity of what you're drinking. It's kind of like the 18-year at this point is gone. And if there's another one, it's not going to taste like this. Plus, it's a single barrel, meaning that every barrel is different. So that's really kind of the unique experience that you get from these particular bourbons and why they cost more. It's not just always just because they're higher quality. It's because it took longer to make them. It's like they're not making that many of it because they're not that big, and it still has to. They still have to make money to support their distillery. There's many different reasons for why bourbons cost what they cost, and I hope tonight we kind of went over all the different reasons. We are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Please join our Facebook group, subscribe to us on all of our podcasts, and we are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. You can ask Alexis to play us. We are on Pandora. I mean, pretty much anywhere you could listen to podcasts, we're there. Make sure that you subscribe to us on YouTube, and then also ask to join our Facebook group, follow our page. You can find us on Twitter at ScotchyThe. You can also find us on Instagram under the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We're pretty much everywhere on social media. So I hope what you liked what you heard tonight. Feel free to support us on Patreon. And check us out on www.scotchybourbonboys.com. And then also, you can contact us at thescotchybourbonboys@gmail.com. Good night, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, good bourbon equals good friends.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die.